Hello, bonjour. You are currently listening to La Bonne Heure here on CITR 101.9 FM, located on the ancestral, traditional, and unceded territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. My name is Valley, and I'm going to be your host for the next hour or so. We're going to be chatting with Tom Weber, who is a musician who called in from the UK. Chatted with him on Monday all about his music, upcoming music, as well as some really important questions about spiders and about just musical inspirations as well. I actually met Tom Weber this summer when he was opening for an Elvis Presley impersonator at a really lovely charity event that I was able to attend. So we'll be chatting a little bit more about Elvis Presley with him in just a second. And after that, I'm also going to talk a little bit about a concert I had the pleasure of going to last week. It was the Japanese House. They were playing here in Vancouver at the Vogue Theatre on Granville Street. It was a wonderful show. Going to play some of their songs as well and chat a little bit more about their performance. With that though, we're going to start off with one of Tom Weber's songs, and that is Living for Us Both.
I could not believe it. I was five and you were turning nine. The day they told me you were leaving me, I thought that we had so much time. You had been my superhero. I could see the Jedi in your eyes. Now I'm older, brother, I know you're the reason I'm inspired to jump right in, I don't think twice. Losing you has made me glad to be you passed on, all that loss and longing in my bones stops me trying to take it slow. Losing you has given me so much to lose. If there's a hell or there's a heaven, that's where we're gonna meet.
Great. So I'm here with Tom Weber coming in from the UK. So we were chatting a little bit about time zones, and you're quite far ahead from where I am here in Vancouver. But thank you so much for chatting with me.
Thank you for having me.
It's quite funny because we met a few months ago
you were performing at a charity event. Could you tell us a little bit about how you found that?
Yeah, I mean, I found out it was a transport fair, if memory serves well. There's been a few gigs since then, but I remember it being really good fun and a really big stage as well. And I found out about it because I'm from Didcot, which is in Oxfordshire, obviously, and that was just outside Henley, so it's not too far from me, and there were signs and everything, and I was just asked to play it, and the guy who there was a guy there selling all these leather jackets and stuff, and I bought a leather jacket from him, and he runs another festival and so forth. It's like everyone knows each other, but yeah, that was a great. I remember meeting you after coming off that set, and I was pretty buzzing, to be honest. So it's a good show.
Yeah, and I mean, how many people can say that they've opened for Elvis Presley, you know?
Deal. He was good. He was very, very good.
He was.
Yeah, he was shaking my hips. So tell you that.
Yeah, I was impressed. The vendor that I really liked at that was, there was a guy, I don't know if you saw him, but he was selling vintage BBC On Air light signs.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
If I didn't have to travel back to Canada and I was living in the UK, I would have bought one on the spot, but it was a bit heavy to fit in my luggage, unfortunately. So
it didn't happen. A bit too much. He had some good stuff. My manager bought, I think it actually might have been one of those On Air signs.
Oh, did he? There you go.
Yeah. So it's it was obviously a popular vendor at the festival itself.
If I ever move back to the UK, he's the first person I'm contacting. None of my friends, none of my family, just immediately that guy.
You've got unsettled business you need to score up there.
Yeah, exactly. Great. So I thought we could start with a few kind of random-ish fun questions before talking a little bit more about your music. The first one, I was thinking of your name, Tom Webber, and I thought about web, which led me to think about spider. So I'm going to play a game with you called Squash or Save. I'm going to name four famous spiders, and you're going to tell me if they were in your house, would you squash them or save them? So up first, we have Charlotte from Charlotte's Web. Squash or save?
Oh, I've got to save Charlotte's Web. I mean, we used to watch that in school when it used to be wet playtime. When it used to rain outside, when we were young, we couldn't go out and play in the rain for some reason. So the teachers used to put on Charlotte's Web, so I've got fond memories. So yeah, I'm saving her.
Okay, good. I chose the same. Up next, we've got Aragog from Harry Potter. I don't think he'd fit in your house, but let's say somehow he got in there. Squash or save?
If I had a really big Wellington boot or something, I would probably squash. And I know that's bad, but because I'm ashamed to say I've not seen all of the Harry Potter films.
That's fair.
So I haven't got any emotional attachment
I'll give you the rundown. He's enormous, he's really, really scary looking, and I think he's also evil, so I think squash is the right answer in this case.
Wow. Yeah, I'm not sounding too cozy with that spider, to be honest.
There you go. Up next, we have Axel, which if you ever watched Home Alone, it's the spider his brother has.
Buzz's spider.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm saving that one. That's iconic. Buzz's spider, yeah.
I will also say he saves, what's it, Kevin? He saves Kevin's life by jumping on
Wet bandit. So he does save Kevin's life. It, to be fair, he gets he needs a bigger paycheck, that spider. He's underrated in his role there.
I hope he got good benefits being on that show. So.
Extra lettuce or whatever spiders flies or something, I don't know.
The last one we have is the spider that bit Peter Parker and created Spider-Man. Which is a bit of a philosophical question, because on one hand it saved New York, but on the other hand, it kind of ruined Peter Parker's life. Or did it?
I'm saving that one. I'm
Same
saving
here.
that. Yeah, and I'm probably, the only, I feel bad, the only one I've squashed is the Harry Potter one, but I'm saving Peter Parker's one because it's iconic. Come on, what would you do without that spider?
I think I'd also save him. I think having actually, I'd let him bite me and then I'd become Spider-Man, which I think would be kind of cool.
Would you want to, would you like to save New York?
I think I'd save New York. I think there's worse places in the world. I think I'd save
I
New York.
think
But
you'd do a good
or I could
job.
become like the Spider-Man of like Didcot.
Well, we
Yeah.
need one. We need one. There's a role to be filled there, please.
The traveling Spider-Man.
Change your heart.
So you started playing the guitar at around 13 years old. If you could go back in time and not give yourself a guitar, but give yourself a different instrument, what instrument would you choose?
Ah, oh, that's a good question. Piano. It's got to
Piano.
be piano. I'm only, recently I've tried to, I actually about sort of, I don't know, 15, 16, was gifted a big Yamaha, like keyboard piano thing. And I've always told myself I'm going to try and learn it, but I'm useless. I'm really bad. It's like different, you can transpose some things from playing the guitar, but I am bad. I'm like the sort of one finger on each key kind of player. So if I could go back and pick something, it would be that.
What I've been trying to do, because I've been trying to teach myself the piano because one of my roommates got a piano, and I just do chords. I'm not trying to do anything fancy. I just try to do chords, and I found that's quite, it's a lot easier to, like I just go on guitar tabs and do what I would do with the guitar, but then find the chords on the piano. So you should try that. It might be a little bit easier.
That's a good way to do it because you're also keeping it a bit real there. You're keeping it stripped back, but it's also got that emotion when you're playing each chord, and it's kind of you can just sing over it, and it sounds like a lullaby. I just my brain for some reason can't compute if I'm not hitting something with my right hand and keeping this left hand still or something. It doesn't feel for
Fair.
some reason it doesn't compute in my brain. But
That's fair.
maybe I'll take some tips off you.
Well, do two chords, do the same chord but with both hands on different octaves.
Now you're talking. This is reminding me of school of music lessons.
Yeah,
I
this
never
is
listened
actually a
to any
piano
of
class,
this.
not an interview anymore.
I thought this was a master class coming into
Yeah,
this soon.
exactly. And then my last fun question for you is, we actually both worked at cafes while trying to keep passion projects alive. So I was wondering if you had a favorite and a least favorite cafe duty while you were working there.
That's a good question. I've got to think back now. There were some things which were just kind of really, for some reason, they felt fun. Just some things like making the coffee or filling the ice, I remember being like strangely satisfying. But there were some things, I think, just like, to be honest, it was just a pot wash with the dishwasher, I think, putting everything in the dishwasher. But you know what? It's taught me good skills about how to load a dishwasher.
There you
How
go.
about you? I mean, what was I'm intrigued to know what how it would be on the other side of the water.
My favorite was the bagel station because I would just play my music really loud and then not talk to any of the customers and just sit there like making these bagels. And then the worst, I think, the initial 20 minutes on being on the register were really fun. And then after a while, I would just get very, very frustrated that people would spend 20 minutes in the queue and then show up and not know what they wanted to order and stand there going, maybe I'm like, are you, the menus are right next to you. You've had 20 minutes. You should know what you're going to order by the time you get to me. And I think my patience wasn't tolerant enough to deal with that. So
You're not on your own there. You're not on your own because I've thought the same thing countless times, and you just think, well, what's going through? But that on the other hand, I know for a fact I've been in the same position if I've not necessarily coffee shops, but if I've been in like fast food places and I've been in a queue for at least 10 minutes and I don't know what I'm ordering. I almost look at the sort of person behind the counter to sort of spur me on with some inspiration on what I should get. But it's you're fighting a losing battle doing that,
yeah,
so yeah.
it's true.
Took a chance and stumbled in blind, dazzled by the changing hues of your quixotic bloom. You took me dancing on the keys into the golden shimmering heat, and when you told me you would leave, I did not believe. Woke up in the morning to the pouring rain, putting back the clock so we could start again.
so brittle heart barely made it out of the dark. I would have sacrificed the stars to wrap me in your arms. Could be side by side watching the rolling waves. Something in my heart had made me too afraid. But
more about your music and your, let's say, past experience coming into this musical world. So you started the guitar at 13. Is that kind of when you knew that music was something that you wanted to pursue and something that you wanted to really do with your life, or was it later on that you discovered that?
I think I've always liked music. You know, I think a lot of people do. I think sort of going through teens and things like that, they get heavily into music. It's like the first kind of discovery. But and I enjoyed playing, but I didn't really take anything mildly serious until I was probably like 16 or 17 or something, and I was starting to, you know, write songs and go and busking, and yeah, it's like an addiction from there, to be honest. And I can't really remember, to be honest. It's music's always felt like it's been there, but in terms of creating, you know, I can't remember the last song I wrote. You know, I can't even remember any of the songs I've written in terms of how I wrote them. It's weird. I know a lot of people, you hear interviews and stuff, people saying, oh, back in 1962, I remember it was a cloudy day and I wrote this. And I'm sort of thinking, you know, I can't even remember. I'm, you know, at most likely in this room, sat in this chair writing an idea, but it's the spur of the moment and that's what keeps it exciting. But, you know, so I went on a tangent there, but I think, yeah, 13 was where it all started, really.
Do you think you kind of go into a trance when you're writing your music, or do you think that it's just something that inspires you and you just get home and scribble it down?
I think, yeah, definitely a trance thing going on. I mean, you can sit, well, I'll sit there with a guitar and start singing something, and before you know it, it's 2 hours gone and you've written, like, you know, something which, you know, sounds like a song, it feels like a song, but you don't really know because you've been in this contained environment. You don't know whether it's a pile of rubbish or something good, but it feels nice, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you went to study producing and audio engineering and things like that. And your first EP was actually something that you made during that time, and you recorded it yourself, you produced it yourself, of course you wrote it yourself. Is that still the process for you? Are you like a one-man team?
That's a good question. Well, when I did that, yeah, as you say, it was all, you know, everything was, I don't think I really, as selfish as it sounds, but I think it's more naive. When I did that first EP, I think I was doing it for the sake of myself. I wanted to have some recordings and prove to myself that I could sing and write or do something and just have this body of work. But I never thought that, you know, someone like yourself, you know, in another country would be asking me about that. And now it's kind of you know, I'm getting to meet loads of really cool people with great talent and learn everything from the trade of them. So I really enjoy writing with people. And, you know, the things recently have been sort of meeting people, writing with them, recording with them. But it still stems back to the same, you know, it's still me, it's still the core influence, because it's, I don't think I'm all, I always feel like personally I'm changing in terms of where I'm taking influence in music. So it, you know, it's always going to be a new thing, but it's always still the core. It always feels like me. Do you know what I mean?
That's nice. I like how you put that. And you mentioned inspirations in music, and I know that you know, growing up, you were listening to a lot of the music that your dad and that your granddad were kind of feeding to you. If you could perform with anyone other than Elvis Presley, because you've been there, done that, but alive or dead, if you could perform with them, maybe collaborate on a song, do you have maybe someone that comes to mind?
It's gotta be John Lennon, surely. Like, you know, I spend hours listening to Beatles and John Lennon, and have done for what feels like all of my life. And I still don't understand how he managed to come up with such, I like the simplicity of how he does it. And I've always liked, you know, love is the answer in Mind Games. You know, that's Mind Games' song, and it's like, that lyric, just love is the answer. It's so simple and it's so few words, but it feels so good. And I think sometimes when I'm writing, I sometimes think, oh, I've got to add more in, I've got to add more to act more smart. But Lennon didn't care. You know, he would just do what he felt was right. And I think just being in a room with him for 10 minutes would get the juices flowing, to say the least.
Yeah, that's nice. I feel like it's always special to have someone that not only whose music you like and whose sound you can appreciate, but who can really inspire you. I think that's a very rare and special thing to find in fellow musicians or in people around the world. And so, speaking of fellow musicians, you're going to be going on a tour in Scotland in around April with fellow musician Roseanne.
Yeah, Roseanne Reid. Reid.
And you've got quite a few shows leading up to that. What can people expect when they go to a Tom Webber performance or show?
Well, I think people can expect, I like having light and shade in a lot of gigs. You know, I don't want to knock everyone over the head with constant, you know, upbeat rah, 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 rah. And I also don't want to send people to sleep at the same time with some boring lullaby. So I think they could expect a bit of variety, but truly songs just by a lad who's grown up in Britain in 2023 is now. So people can just expect that sort of new retro vibe is the sort of way I'm calling it now, new retro. So the sort of echoes of the past mixed in with a sort of modern element as well. So yeah, but it's, you know, I'm not going to go up there and plug a synthesizer in and do sort of house beats for a club. It's all kind of like, it's easy to see, you know, where my influence is on my sleeve. somewhat. So I think people can expect that and see similarities, but just a good night, I think. Just some good music, hopefully. And if they don't like it, then fair enough. But I think, I think what's not to like?
I've been accused of something that I do. Oh, how I've been accused. I've been asked why I'm living in the past when I need to be new. If there's one thing that I know, can't fake a lifestyle just for show, 'cause I am what I am. Understand, I am what I am. Too many times I've been proved I'm going wrong when the end's in sight. I'll admit I say sorry too much. Oh, I apologize. If there's one thing that I found, I left both feet firmly on the ground. But I am what I am. Understand, I am what I am. Maybe I'm not strong enough. I'll try to people please. Or maybe I'm made of stronger stuff to be who I wanna be. 'Cause I've been stung by some prodigal son, the local hero man. He told about all the songs he sung with his shoegaze band. If there's one thing that I know, his worn-out soul is full of holes. But I am what I am. Understand, I am what I am. If there's one thing that is true, there's one of me and 7.83 billion of you. Thank God I am what I am. Understand, I am what I am. Understand, I am what I am. Understand, I am what I am.
So you've mentioned kind of that new retro, hinting at, you know, the past and mixing that with, you know, being in 2023. And something that a lot of people have said about your music is that it does kind of have this vintage feel to it. And especially your voice, quite classic. Do you find that hard? I know you don't really remember your creative process because you're in that trance, but do you find it kind of hard to mix that vintage sound and feeling with writing about the present day and about, you know, let's say like the modern time?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Yeah, I think sometimes if it comes naturally, then it's, you know, I find if it comes naturally, it's more or less right, and if it feels right, it should, you know, it should pursue what you're doing. But there are some times where I'll sit down with a guitar and you're writing something, and it's usually the case if you've been if I've been on my own and I've not really sort of had external influences, and you're there listening and you've just spent an evening the night before listening to JJ Cale and, you know, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons or something random like that, then you'll sit down at the guitar the next day and you'll come out with like lyrics and things which sound a bit old fashioned, and you've got to slap yourself on the wrist and say, no, come on, it's not 1959 anymore, or, you know, 1965. And, you know, I've got to kind of remember, because it's easy to detach yourself when you're writing. You've got to remember who you are, and I think definitely getting better at it, I think, just remembering that it's 2023. And I like it, you know, I like a lot of old artists, but I like a lot of new artists as well. So it's a nice mix to have, I think. If that answers your question. Sorry.
That's perfect. No, that's perfect.
I tried so many times to cut her off my back. I tried to tell her, but she wouldn't cut no slack. Before I tell her she was sweet. Before I knew how bad she was for me. If anyone could tell you that your words ain't too clear, let me tell you, those are the words I love to hear. Those are the words I love to hear. The sweetest touch was just the one we never had. The closest thing was when you touched the back of my hand. Before I know which way we'd go. Before I knew to take it slow. If anyone could fool you into thinking that our end is near, let me tell you, those are the words I love to hear. Those are the words I love to hear. But no means no. Why can't you just see that the time we had together is just a memory, 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 memory. Those are the words that I love to hear. Those are the words I love to hear. Those are the words that I love to hear.
And so I do have another one of those random questions, which is, you know, so you are playing around the UK, you're going, you know, to Scotland, as we mentioned, in April. If you could get on an aeroplane and perform anywhere in the world, you could do one show in any city in any country in the world, why would it be Vancouver, Canada? Where would it be?
Because you're there, clearly. Come on, exactly. Yeah.
Where would it be and why?
Well, there's two places, really. You know, I know it's probably not answering the question very well, but the first would probably be Nashville. And I'd somewhere in Nashville, I don't mind, wherever the music lovers go, some kind of cool bar with neon lights in Nashville, because everything I love about music, if you delve in deep enough, they always talk about Nashville being the kind of music capital of the world. So it only feels right that I should say there. But also Paris, like, I would love to go to Paris and play a gig, because selfishly, I just love Paris. I think it's just a really cool place and very stylish, and I just like to pretend that I'm a Parisian for a day.
You're like walking around and everyone's like, oh, is he Parisian? And then you start speaking like that.
Exactly. I'm going to have a beret and, you know, a long coat and a roll neck, and I'll just pretend that, you know, I fit in here, even though I can only speak about four words in French. You know, I'll still love it.
That's good. And Nashville, I will also second that. I think Nashville would be an amazing place to play, and especially with your music, I think it would really fit in perfectly. So that would be great. Let me know, and I'll fly down and watch the show.
Have you been to Nashville?
But I've a lot of the tours that come through Vancouver. A lot of the guys that I work for are from Nashville, and they all speak very highly of it.
It's the mecca of music making, is what I've heard, and it's almost like saying, you know, never meet your heroes, but I feel like Nashville is a hero that you would like to meet.
I agree. Lastly, you are back in the studio at the moment, and you've got a song coming out in January called This Time. Can you give us any spoilers or little sneak peeks into the direction or maybe the theme of this song?
Yeah, a little nugget of information. Well, to be honest with you, it's a bit of a, it's a change in sound, and I think in a good way. It's a sort of, you know, it's got all elements of everything I've done prior. And personally, it sounds like, you know, I'm tooting my own horn or whatever, but I think it's a mega tune, and I think it's got that kind of, it's got more of that sort of guitar indie sort of contemporary vibe about it, but it's also got an element of stylish coolness. When I listen to it, I kind of think weirdly like Buzzcocks or, you know, that kind of cool, stylish. I can't really describe it, but it's a tune that would get you up off your feet, I think. And for me, that's quite exciting because I don't know if I've had enough tunes personally I've written which would make me want to move a hip or, you know, move my arms or jiggle around a little bit. So it's kind of one of those, and it's a feel good kind of tune, and yeah, it's coming out in January, so I'm going to be excited all over Christmas for it to come out, to be honest.
It's good to be proud of your music. I'm very excited to hear it, and it's kind of what you were talking about really mixing what we were talking about, mixing the contemporary and that vintage style as well, is what you said, with the core sound and then that more indie contemporary sound. Yeah. And is that going to be accompanied by any future music potentially?
There's definitely a lot of stuff in the pipeline. I'll say that, and it's just figuring out the sort of minefield of the music industry, how to kind of get it out, and but it will be out eventually. I know it will be, but there's a lot of good stuff, and the stuff that will follow this time follows perfectly. And I think I've really been inspired over the last year, where I've been doing a lot of writing and recording. I've been inspired in a sort of, it feels like an extra string to my bow, and a kind of another lane that's possible to go down to a row of houses filled with new sounds and instruments and energy. So there's a lot of good stuff coming, I think, in 2024.
That's very exciting. We'll keep an ear out for that. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me today. This has been very nice hearing about your inspirations, which spiders you would keep.
That's the main part of this. That's what people want to know. The people want to know if we're keeping Charlotte's Web or not, you know.
And our little piano lesson as well, you know. You're welcome for that. That'll be
You've inspired me, actually. I'll throw you some credits on the next piano song, which is written at some point.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
You know the score. Do one more. Looking for that buzz we had before. Heading up another bar, heading for the stars, keeping ourselves by from ever going home. Lining up the stars, trying to save the pounds. Only got an hour till the start. We're racing time, howling at the moon and getting high, making every
It was so lovely getting to chat with Tom Weber a couple of days ago, all about everything that we were chatting about, Elvis Presley and the spiders, the inspirations and the music as well. And looking forward to that new single in the new year. Definitely going to be excited for that over Christmas as well. Up next, we're going to play a couple songs by the Japanese House. They were here I think last week or the week before. They played at the Vogue Theatre. I actually discovered the Japanese House when I was in grade 12, thanks to the song that I'm going to play in just a second. And they became one of my favourite bands, actually, for a while. They're from the UK, led by a lovely lady called Amber, who had a really great stage presence as well as the rest of the band. The lighting was really impressive at the show as well. And the opening act, Quinny, has a really lovely voice. You might have heard her. I think she might be quite popular with a few of her songs and tracks on TikTok as well. But some really lovely music and some really beautiful performances at the Vogue Theatre during the Japanese House show. I'm a little upset because they didn't play a lot of those classics that I really enjoyed when I was younger. But that's okay because I'm about to make up for it. However, they did play a lot of their new music, which was very fun to hear. And it was sold out. I mean, it was packed, you know. I was down on the floor and I was like, oh, I might go and get some space upstairs on the balcony because, you know, no one will have thought to go up there and sit down. And it was chock-a-block. But I was able to find a chair. So lucky me. But the song that I was referring to that I first discovered by the Japanese House is a song called Sister. And that's what I'm going to play now.
You see, that's my twin. standing outside, and she's my next of kin. If only you knew what resided within, I won't let her in. That would be careless and crass, a chip on my chin.
It's quite impressive, actually, how long the Japanese house have really been around now. I think they really came to the airwaves back in 2012 on BBC Radio 1. And they were working quite close, Amber specifically was working quite close with the 1975 at that point and with their label. And now has really branched off and created this incredible project with the Japanese house, having so many fans all across the world and really reaching out to fans who, you know, can identify in their music. And I think that something that, you know, Amber Baines had a little bit of an experience with when starting out was not really wanting to reveal like gender or sexuality or really that much information about herself as a singer and as a musician, and that's why the name The Japanese House was what they decided to choose at the end of the day. But it's really nice now that she is really able to own her expression and own herself on stage, really connecting with a lot of queer fans and a lot of women as well, who are able to really find themselves not only in the performance but also in the music. The last song I'm going to play for today's show is one last one by the Japanese House. This is my all-time favorite Japanese House song, which was also not played at the show, but it is a very old one, and I don't think it was on any of the albums. I think it was just like a random single that they released, but it is my favorite song, and so I'm going to be playing that. But thank you again for having me at the show. It was really wonderful getting to see the Japanese House perform live, and they did an incredible job to the surprise of absolutely no one. But here is Leon by the Japanese House, after which I will say goodbye and I will see you guys next week. Bye!
the yard of smart, I got myself a good guy. Oh, the only she broke your heart, he got yourself a good gun. Oh, yeah, he had a daughter, and when I saw her I could see his son. I wished him kissing, it felt so boring. There must be something more than that. Well, it was going on, I got it wrong. Stuck within this lie. You say you die before you're gone, but when we fucked it was alright. Oh, I love to watch you when you fire, and when you kiss it, well, it's alright through. I know where we headed from. All it was coming on, I got it wrong. Back into your arms and her flowers, what she wants. Love away and move on. Neon is so slow. Another person comes and goes. Is it enough to keep you coming around? Neon is so slow. I used to hate watching you go. I love the feeling just before you go down. And neon is so slow. Another person comes and goes. Is it enough to keep you coming around? So slow, I used to hate watching you go. I love the feeling just before you go down.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We are broadcasting live from the University of British Columbia, from the unceded Musqueam Territory in Vancouver. You're listening to my show, Nancy's Pantry. It's every Wednesday, 2 to 3 p.m. I missed the last few episodes because I unfortunately had a cold. Actually, the first week I lost my voice, and then I had a cold the second week. So I am back with more music today. Today, I don't think I really have like a single genre that I picked out, but it's a mix. I think we're starting with a